Have we not been blessed with a glorious Sunday morning? I can tell by all the response that no one is listening. Good, way to go. Thanks, John. Okay, seriously, we have been blessed with a beautiful Sunday morning. We've got baptisms this afternoon. The Lord gave me a very short verse for this morning, and that, so please listen carefully. This is from Psalm 59, and it's just verse 9 and 10. O my strength, I watch for you. You, O God, are my fortress, my loving God. God will go before me and will let me gloat over those who slander me. Please stand and join me in prayer. Father, we thank you. Last week, we celebrated the resurrection of our Savior Jesus and how that changed our lives. Lord, we thank you for seeing that over this last week. Today, Lord, we ask that you'd remind us of that, Lord, that we would carry that with us and that it would cause us to celebrate you, Lord, that our offering this morning would be a sweet fragrance to you, Lord. We thank you that you're here. We thank you that you guide us. We ask your protection over us on this day when we're doing baptisms, Father, and all of that means. In the name of our blessed Savior Jesus. And all God's children said, amen.
Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. Well, they say some of the best things to do in the morning is to do some stretches. It kind of goes like this. And the wonderful thing, too, is that that's actually how we can worship and praise God. Isn't that right? So we're doing our morning stretches. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for the life that you've given us. Thank you that you are restoring our souls. Thank you that you are leading us in the path of righteousness, Lord God. Draw us close to you this day. Oh, Father God, we thank you and praise you. Thank you that we have this opportunity to be able to worship you this day. Thank you, Father God. Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you. We love you. We love you. Thank you, Lord. Come, let us.
Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For He is our God. And we
you this day. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Make a really joyful noise. Thank you, Lord.
with miracles in mind. My hope will always stand, for you hold me in your hands. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm
Power.
amazing grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Every family in heaven and on earth and under the earth derives its name. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we would ask or think, according to the power that works within us. To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.
Give me Jesus.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus.
Is our cry as things are falling down around us, as things are not going as you hoped or planned or dreamed or desired. Jesus is there, and Jesus is the main thing. And that Jesus would be glorified in the good and the bad, in the exciting and the sad. Lord Jesus, you be glorified this day. Thank you, Father God. We love you. We praise you. Praise you. We praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you. We praise you. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Amen.
last week's Easter service, but the weeks before's picnic outdoor service. Would you mind just a quick clip that movie by one or two minutes long? Would you mind playing that just real quick for us?
Stuck, I was running my broken hearted. I was sinking so fast, I couldn't last, falling apart. And you could have run away, leaving me there in my shame, leaving me fighting my pain, but you made a better way. Showing me all of my life in a new light. Every step, every breath, like it's the first time. You could run away, leaving me there in my shame, leaving me fighting my pain, but you made a better way.
That was fun. That was great. Thank you guys for doing that. That is really awesome and really fun. So we're going to take a minute and we're going to pray for today, but also we're just going to pray for some folks just have lost loved ones. And so let's just stop. And Lord, you know who's going through what, Lord. You know some right now are feeling sick, Lord, or some feeling lonely, Lord. They're tired, Lord. You know some have just lost loved ones, Lord. And Lord, I just ask in Jesus' name, Lord, and you know who each one of those people are, Lord. I just pray that you would touch them, Lord, that you would hug them, that you would encourage them, Lord God. And Lord, I'm not even sure who I should mention and who I shouldn't. So I just ask that you'd take care of all of them, Lord God. And you'd help us just to be sensitive. If it looks like somebody isn't right, we just give them a hug, give a word of encouragement, Lord. Stop and pray for them, Lord. Just give them a smile, Lord, a prayer, Lord, that you would help us to be your hands, your eyes, your feet, Lord God, and allow us just to be an encouragement to them, Lord, and a blessing to them. And so, Lord, we just pray for your blessing on them. We pray on this day, Lord God. I ask you to take each person that's getting baptized, Lord God, and that you would solidify their eyes, Lord, that they would fix their eyes on you, Lord, not on the things of this world, but on you, the starter of their faith and the finisher of their faith, Lord. For they have been born again to a new life, a new purpose, Lord God, in Christ Jesus, my Lord. And I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would bless and anoint and appoint each person, Lord, and whoever you want there at the baptism later on this afternoon, Lord, that you would bring out. And Lord, if you want to bless them, if you want to give them a gift, Lord, if you want to, whatever you want to be open to it as a body. And so, Lord, we just thank you for each one of them, and we ask that you would protect them and deepen their roots, Lord God, in you and in your word and in your Holy Spirit. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name, and all God's people said,
amen,
amen, amen, and amen. Glad you guys are here. That was a really cool video. I like that. That was fun. Okay, so a couple of things too. Guys, don't forget, we've got tons of Panera loaves and bagels. Take them home, give them to your family, freeze them, give them to your friends. Just go bless them in Jesus' name. I don't want to be leaving here too. They sell these loaves for like $5-$10 a pop. So even those little pastries, so just grab all that you can, take them, give them away. It's just a gift in Jesus' name. So we're so happy to do that for you. And we just want you to receive it and be blessed. You know, we don't take up tithes and offerings. We do receive them in the little bird box in the back hallway, which we are happy to do. Just give, of course, in Jesus' name. I'm going to save this for next week. Hey, just out of curiosity, is there anyone in here who did not receive, for example, did not receive the text on the baptism today? Would you just raise your hand? Oh, you got to be kidding me. That's terrible. Okay, hey, Nate, do we have any maps anywhere? Okay, could you just say a few words right now? No, I'm just kidding. I just watched him put a wrap in his mouth. Jen, could you just, if you need a map to the baptism, it's going to be later on this afternoon. Would you just raise your hand real quick? We want to make sure anybody, just deliver them if you would.
Well, yeah, actually, and for those, just as an overview, we're meeting just south of the Coquina concession stand, which is actually where the bus turnaround is. It so as you're heading south on the island, it will be on your right, and as you pull in, it'll be just on the left side, on the south side of that concession stand. And the concession stand is open until 5, but so if you want to come early and get dinner there or bring your own stuff out there, as well as anybody that will be being baptized, need to be there at 5 o'clock. For some instruction with Darren, but then we will actually be baptizing at 5:30. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Anybody else, Matt?
5:30 is the actual event, but if you're being baptized, please be there at 5 o'clock.
Yes.
The text message went out saying 3 and 3:30.
No, it did not.
Yes, it did.
No. No way. You show me. Boom.
Well, I'm glad we're all here to correct this. So it is supposed to be 5 and 5:30.
Yes.
If that happened, we apologize. If it didn't happen, we still apologize for the confusion.
That's your old eyes, ma'am. When you're young like me, it's very clear what the numbers are. Five and 5:30. All right. Yeah, how do you like me now, Leslie? Thought you were all that, didn't you? Okay, so anyway, normally what we do, guys, is we go immediately after church. We have a great cookout and all that. Because of what Manatee County is doing with the parking lots, they wouldn't let us do that. And then we were going to do a dinner cookout and stuff like that, okay? But because of where it's at, they were saying we have to have this permit and events. So just eat before you come this one time. We're going to do it later. So just arrive at about 5 o'clock. We'll start the baptism at 5:30. It's a beautiful time. So come out. I don't know if there'll be 10 people or 100 people, but I know we're baptizing at least 5 to 10 folks, at least. And so that's amazing. We had a chance to sit down, Gary and I, talking to many of them, spending like an hour or two making sure, hey, are you saved? Is this for real? Are you really? And yes, their hearts are all for the Lord. It was just an amazing thing. One of the people that's going to be baptized was just had never been to church and just been coming for like 6 months. A widow and is just like blown away by the Lord, and now she's just like, now I'm talking about Jesus at work. I can do this because of Jesus, and I'm so excited about Jesus. I couldn't even be able to talk to you 6 months ago. But now, because of Jesus, I can. And even just others, you know, I can't read. And so what they're doing is they're listening to the Bible on audio, getting it, Bible and teaching. I just see that just shows the heart. Hey, one of them was saying, you know what? I just heard God told me to give this person the last $5 I had. And I said, what? And he said, I've never heard that before. Am I going crazy? And I did. I said, I think God wants me to give this to you, and it's my last $5, and he's going to take care of you. And it was a person who was getting fired, and they gave it to him. And then the person said, I don't know what happened, but I was filled with so much joy. In my heart, it was unexplainable. And then they were like, is this normal? Does God talk to you? And I was like, yes, yes, he does. This is great. So this is our great God, and this is cool stuff, and this is just the beginning. So I'm very excited for everyone who's getting baptized. So I'd encourage you all to come out if you're able to, at least if we don't have a map. I know we sent one on that text. Yes. Oh, go ahead, Gary.
I tried to get the map, the Google map on the sheet, and I couldn't get it to copy. But it's really pretty simple. You go out Manatee or Cortez, make a left on Gulf. The address for the cantina is on there, so you can put that in your GPS.
Okay, fantastic.
And it's on the Gulf side. Yes. So it's that easy.
All right, and we'll work on the numbers and why people are not getting that text. Man, Lord, let's pray against that in Jesus' name. Okay, well, let's continue on, but that's a very exciting thing. The Mercy Me is now filled. Is that correct? Yep. It's now sold out, but Chantel has extra tickets. She'd be happy to give her own ticket, she said. She doesn't care if she goes to that concert. She's not excited at all about it.
Not at all.
So Hillsong United is still coming May 11th. I think there's still tickets for that at the Joy FM, so encourage you to do that. Baptism, so excited. Leslie, what time does that say? Anywho, we'll just move right along. That's today. Hey, hopefully I don't need to say this to everybody, but, you know, just make sure your swimwear is, you know, semi-modest. I don't want to see any Speedos. Nothing personal, Gary. You just have to wear the regular shorts. And, you know, so girls, you know what I'm saying. Okay. So we want to invite you here. Prayer meetings, Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. Absolutely love to have you. And God's doing amazing things. So I want to encourage you to come out to the prayer meeting at 9. Each month, on the second Tuesday of the month, there's the women's Bible study from 6:30 to 8. The men's Bible study, the first and third Tuesdays, 6 p.m. dinner and 6:30 Bible study. We also have on Wednesday the Whosoever's Youth Group from 6:30 to 8:30. Woo-woo! Woo-woo! And so that's pretty cool. And it is amazing. And then we are going to be starting this Bible study. And so this is going to be the next Bible study. And after that, we're going to do Share Jesus Without Fear, so how to share your faith. And then we're going to be doing an Experiencing God course here too very shortly. But for those... yes, it is. But for those who have not taken this course, we're going to be doing this one. It's going to be Thursday nights for about 7 or 8 weeks from 6:30 to 8 p.m. here at Home Fellowship Church. The cost will be $10 to $20. We'll get you that information. And we're going to start May 9th, which I think is 2 weeks from now. Yes, is that correct?
Yes.
And St. Victor, you're going to ask, when are we having the Experiencing God course again?
No.
Oh.
No.
Okay. That's a fantastic segue, if you would bring that little microphone to the little chomp-o-matic Mark Manley back there, as he's chewing. Basically, what it is, this is a Francis Chan. It's a little Bible study on, we've almost got two camps in Christendom, and one is... one is very grounded and stable in the Word, but they tend to be very dry and stagnant. And then the other almost listens to the Holy Spirit or any other spirit, every which way the wind blows, and they're not very grounded. We want to talk, the Forgotten God is about the Holy Spirit. When you get saved, something supernatural happens. It's not just an intellectual assent. Something supernatural happens. There's a connection made, a supernatural connection. God comes and he places his Holy Spirit in you, himself. He gives you himself. So there's that connection. I don't know if this is a good illustration or not. Think of it as if you don't have your router, right, at your house, there's no connection. This is like the Wi-Fi connection. So he's giving you himself. But not only that, that Holy Spirit, his Holy Spirit himself, he empowers you to live this life. If you've ever tried to live the Christian life apart from the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to be one frustrated little puppy. Okay? And so basically this is about the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and just what he does and what God does. And so, Mark, is there anything you want to say? You say it's an awesome book? What did you say? I'm sorry.
I said it was an awesome book.
Okay.
Yes. And what makes it a unique book is that it is Francis Chan's life, what has happened in his life, what the Holy Spirit has done in his life. It's not just a book that is a normal textbook. This is a real life. This happened. These are my experiences, and it is absolutely transformational.
But is it based on just experiences, or is it based on the Word? Because that's
important.
It's
the Word. It's the Word of God, yes. And how he applied it in his life and what the Holy Spirit did.
Absolutely. Yes. Good. Well said. So we'll have a sign-up sheet here next week, but if you want to mark that in your calendar, we'll be doing that Thursday nights for the next 7 weeks. Then we'll do a 4 or 5 week course with Share Jesus Without Fear, and we forgot to talk about it, so we have to do that next Thursday when we start that Experience of God course. What? What?
But
Is what everyone? That's everybody who wants to sign up. There's a book. You're going to have to do reading and a workbook, just being honest. So you will have to do some work, and that'll be Thursday nights. Okay? It is super good, though. You are absolutely correct. Agreed. And also, if you would pray for us this week, we're taking half the kids up. They're doing their cultural geography, so we're going to Epcot this week. We're going to be away for the week with the younger kids, and they're visiting the different nations, and then we're going to be going to the Holy Land another day so we can visit Jerusalem and Israel and talk about those type of things. Not the actual Israel, but we're going to the in Orlando. So, yes. Yes, because we like the younger kids better. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking. Okay, so now we are in the book of James. So if you could open your Bibles to James. Last week we had an Easter service. It went really well. Praise the Lord by the grace of God. Open your Bibles to James chapter 1. Okay, and let me grab, where's my Bible? James chapter 1. That would be one for my non-Spanish-speaking friends. All right. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. Kind-hearted Chris will deliver one right to your doorstep. Okay. Yes. If you don't have a Bible, let us know, and we'll buy a Bible for you. Oh, need some Bibles back there? I do. For you, Chris, there's a whole bunch. Look at this. Here's one for you. Look at this. Here's another
one.
Well, I'll have to get that one for you. But here's some to deliver just for today.
Okay.
But whoever it is, get their name and number, and we will buy them a Bible in Jesus' name. Okay, so we left off in James chapter 1 at the end, where God was talking about, hey, if you're a Christian, James was saying, if you're a Christian, I want you not just to be a talker, but a walker. I want you not to be just a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word, right? How many Christians or how many professing Christians have you run across where they're just a walk, they're just a talkie-talkie. They're not a walkie-talkie, right? That we need to see not only the talk, but the walk. That's a Christian. And so if you remember just a 2 minute recap, Lord willing. If you want to be a blessed doer of God's word, then this is what we need to do. And we went over this 3 weeks ago. So this is just a quick reminder. If we want to be blessed as a child of God, and we want to be a doer of God's just word, not just a hearer only, the first one it says is we need to look intently, the Bible says. In James, it says you need to look intently at it. In fact, maybe I'll just read it real quickly. Please forgive me. Chris, can you hit that light just for one shake of a cat's tail? I'm just going to read it just so that it's fresh in my mind too.
Verse 32. Okay, I'm going to read down from verse 32 to verse 25. Oh, wait. Bear with me. 22. I have so much writing in my Bible. James 1:22 to James 1:25. Here's what it says, starting in verse 22. Do not merely listen to the words and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he's heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone, we'll stop there. So this is what we do. This is what the Lord says in his word in the James. If you want to be a blessed doer of God's word, the first thing is look intently. Remember that? It's an action word. That means you got to do a little bit of work. We're living in kind of a weird millennial generation where everybody just expects everything for nothing. You know what I mean? I just want to get out of school and I just want to have a $100,000 a year job. Oh, I don't want to do any work. Oh, I don't want to really. Do you know what I'm saying? Oh, don't get all like millennials are. Oh, I'm so offended now. Okay, whatever generation. Okay, we live in a time and a culture where everything is like, well, I'll take it. I just don't want to have to do anything for it. Well, the Lord says, I want you to look intently. It's an action word. It's a doing word. And that word, if you remember, it's almost like, you know, stooping down. It means to bend over in the Greek, you know, and look and take some time. So you remember what it says. It means searching for God's words. Your words were found and I ate them. Your words became for me a joy and a delight of my heart. For I have been called by your name, Jeremiah 15:16. I found them. I searched for them. The Bible says, I want you to study. Well, that's not a fun word. So what? Do it anyway. The Bible says to study, to show thyself approved, a workman who doesn't not need to be ashamed. And it says who rightly handles the word of truth. That means you put in some time. Get your devotionals in the morning. Start reading the word. If you don't know what to do, pick a book in the New Testament. Just read a chapter a day. Verse by verse, chapter 1, verse 1, go through it. Read a chapter a day, every day. Then go to the next New Testament book. Go to the next one. Ask God, praying every time, Lord, speak to me. Okay? The Bible says, I have hidden your word in my heart. It's an action word. I'm not just going to read it and forget about it. I want to make it a part of who I am. The second thing it says, if you want to be blessed doer of God's word, is it gives freedom. It's purposeful. God's word is purposeful. It says, I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. God's word, you know, it says in Psalm 119, I will run free in the paths of your commands, for you've set my heart free. I don't think I have that scripture verse up there, but it does say that. It says, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit, and they are life. That's what God's word. If you've got a Holy Spirit living inside of you, this is going to refresh you, renew you, strengthen you, get those roots way down deep. And Jesus said to the people who believed him, if you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you what?
Free.
So look intently. It's an action word. It says it gives freedom. It's purposeful. Then it says to continue to do it. It's persevering. We don't give up. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2 says, blessed is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his or her delight is in the law of the Lord, and on it he meditates on it day and night. I'm thinking about, God, what do you want me to do? I'm transforming my mind. I'm renewing my mind. And not forgetting. I don't know about you. I've got a tremendous forgettery. I don't even know if that's a word. But I have a big one. I forget all the time. We need to be reminded. So I need to continue to put that in my head. Proverbs 4:21-22 says, don't ever forget my words. Keep them always in mind. They are the key to life for those who find them. Another action word. They bring health to the whole body. Isn't that true? I love this, Psalm 119:92-23. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. but I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have preserved my life. Listen, there might have been times in your life where you would have given up, died. You know what I'm saying. But the Lord saved you. His word stabilizes you. And then it says, if you want to be a blessed doer of the word, do it. Do it. And that's pretty simple. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from my mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have success. Joshua 1:8. That's where we left off. So now we're doing... I forgot I didn't do the last couple of verses here in James chapter 1. So we're going to read verse 26 and 27. Okay? Are you guys ready? You buckled up? Okay, so it says, if anyone considers himself religious and yet doesn't keep a tight rein on his tongue or her tongue, deceives himself, and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So God's, James, trying to tell us, he's trying to tell you, listen, if you want to be blessed, the first thing is, you can't just be a hearer of the word, you got to be a doer of the word. And then he tells you, here are some things that you need to remember. And I don't know if you guys remember this from chemistry class. Do you remember that little litmus paper? You know, remember that? What you used to do, and I chemistry and math, not my best subjects, at any rate. But I remember you used to take that little litmus test, that little litmus paper, and you dip it in that solvent, right? If it's the solution, thank you. And if it turned red, it wasn't right. It was an acid, and blue, it was an alkaline, right? You changed the colors, and so that's a litmus test. And so in a sense, James is saying here. You want a litmus test to see if you're really walking with the Lord? Here's a few right here. Here's a little litmus test, Christian, okay? Not that you go to church or youth group or you listen to Christian music, okay? Or you go to a concert. Here's a little litmus test. Here's three things, he says, okay? The first litmus test here, it says, verse 26, if anyone considers himself religious... And that word in Greek is threskos. And that just means one who fears the Lord. It means a worshiper of God, actually. So if anyone considers themselves really a worshiper of God, okay, if you really fear the Lord, and that just means to have a reverent respect for God, if you really feel that way, here's the little litmus test for you. Here's one thing. Okay, ready? And I love this. The first thing it says is, if anyone considers himself or herself religious and does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, they deceive themselves and their religion is useless. What is that saying? I don't know. For me, if you can hit that light. For me, it reminds me of what Jesus says. The Bible says, from out of the overflow of your heart, the mouth is going to speak. Do you know when I can tell when I'm not really doing walking as close with the Lord? This is one of my little litmus tests. Stuff starts coming out of my mouth. You know? Hit my finger with a hammer and it's not dang it. Frustrated with the kids. Maybe it's speaking something that's not encouraging about other people or gossiping about them. Oh, you know what? She just really, I just hate her guts. I can't stand her. She's a blah, 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 blah. Oh, he's a this, he's a that. And you're talking poorly about somebody that God's made, right? And listen, we've all done it because we all get irritable, right? But the bottom line is it's wrong. It's ungodly. And when I start doing that in my own life and those words start coming out of my mouth, that's a litmus test for me that, ooh, I need to make it right. My heart's not right with the Lord. Does that make sense? Listen, let me read to you. I'm going to read to you Luke. You can go there, turn there with me if you want. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Luke 6:43. Give me a second to turn there. Luke chapter 6, from 43 to 45. Just one more second. Get there. This is the words of Jesus. He says, listen, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. And it says this in verse 44, each tree is recognized by its own fruit. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It says people do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. Verse 45 says, the good man brings up good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings up evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart or her heart, the mouth speaks. So that's a litmus test. How are you doing with that? I'm just one of them cursing Christians. Really? Well, stop. That's what I actually had somebody say that to me. I'm just one of those cursing Christians. Okay, well, that might be the case. My wife was one of those cursing Christians. I remember the first time I ever met her many years ago. I got saved out of a more, I know, I didn't tell her I was going to tell this, so hopefully you can roll with this, honey. So I got saved out of more of a conservative environment, and she more of a hyper-Pentecostal. So we're two, God has brought us in the middle, it's really wonderful, so I love it. And so, but the first time, you know, I just got saved. I grew up in church, but I wasn't saved. You know, I just knew the right religious words to say. Do you know what I'm saying? And so she came from a not religious environment. So actually, she was the first Christian girl that I ever met, that I ever spent time with. And so I remember sitting down with my buddy Eddie and this girl Lisa, and we had all had, I don't need to get into what we're saying. Okay, so the bottom line is, anyway, so, and I just remember her telling me, she was so excited about the Lord. She was just saved. And I remember her smoking a cigarette. And I remember her just telling me how much she loved the Lord and how God is changing her life. I don't know how many times she cursed in this exciting story of how Jesus, we're talking 10, 20 times. I'm thinking, but she just didn't know any, but all she knew is Jesus saved her. And I'm excited. This is not, her lifestyle was not my lifestyle. And so, but now when I tell that story, people are like, your wife used to be like that? Oh, yes.
Thank you for sharing with us.
We're very open and honest here. But here's the bottom line. Listen, and it's okay. Listen, we also come from a household. We joke around a lot. We cut up a lot. But we have to be careful because the Bible says in Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome thing come out of your mouth, but only that which builds up others. Are you building up your sisters? Honestly, are you saying words to encourage your brothers? Are you saying kind words to your wife? Are you blessing your mother with your words? Your husband? Your wife? Your friends? How about those who don't know Jesus? Listen, our words, that's a little litmus test. Okay, so I'm not going to get through James chapter 2 today. Let's just let that one go for me. That's so I can just ride with this, okay? So that's a little litmus test. If your words aren't there, okay, that means, okay, I need to go back to the Lord. Lord, help me with my speech. Some of us have had trained patterns where this is how we talk. Well, you might have talked this way or walked this way, but it doesn't honor God, right? So you need his help. Ask him, Lord, help get this out of my life. Yes. Oh, we have a question right over here if we have the wonderful self.
I just want to know.
We're going to bring you a microphone. I know you're not going to like it, but everybody wants to hear your question because I'm very valuable and you're very valuable. So go ahead. Valuable.
That was Ephesians what?
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Excellent question. So that's test number one, right? Because out of the overflow of your heart, the mouth will speak.
You can be all Christian as much as you want, but if something's coming out of there and stuff's coming out of there that shouldn't be, that should tell you something. Lord, I need to change some things. Okay? Capiche? All right. What now?
I said he will change it.
Yes. If you will allow it, he sure will. Yes. Yeah. He will. It's not natural for you. It's not natural for me. But it's supernatural. Now it's supernatural and natural. But if I slip up, that can kind of tell me. It's a little litmus test. Okay, here's the next one. The first test is the speech test, okay, that we just read. The second test is the service test. And that just says, hey, in verse 27, it says, religion that God, a Father, accepts is pure and faultless is to look after orphans and widows in their distress. So basically, what he's saying is show love to others. Orphans wouldn't be able to give anything back to you. Right? The world will love you. It'll give you stuff as long as you give stuff back.
As long as you're going with the flow.
Yes, as long as you're going with the flow. But God's like, I want you. Hey, a widow can't give back, especially in that culture. She had nothing. An orphan had nothing. Zero. God's like, I want you to help take care of them. So some of the people in here, maybe they're not where they're supposed to be yet. You could look at them and be like, oh, well, they're not righteous like me. Or you can look at them like, oh, well, somebody else can help them. Why are they so needy? Or you can just reach out a hand. You can help. Or you can reach out a wallet. Or you can reach out words of encouragement. Or you can stop and pray for someone. You guys getting the picture? Mm-hmm. See, when you're a Christian, it'll result in you loving others. Now, honestly, for some of us, that does not come naturally. I love myself. If it's up to me and I don't have Jesus, here's my goal. You all serve me. That's my goal. However that looks, you serve me. Now, with Jesus, well, you know what he wants? He says the greatest among you will be the what? The least and the servant of all. So if you want to be great in the eyes of the Lord, you serve those around you. Does that make sense, guys?
Yes.
It'll come across. Listen, 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 says, dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let's show the truth by our actions. Does that make sense? Don't tell me also, just tell me you're a Christian. Show me. It will make a difference to you. It will make a difference between how you treat other people. What about the phone solicitor? The phone solicitor too. Well, they don't know. You know what? Jesus knows. You treat everyone with loving kindness, realizing that Christ died for them. Let's go to the next test, the next litmus test. So test number one is the test of speech. Test number two is the test of service. Am I serving the Lord? Am I serving others? And test number three, how I'm walking with the Lord, is separation. Is separation. And Chris, I'm sorry, hit the light for 1 second. It says in verse 27, after it says, to look, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is to look after orphans and widows in their distress. It says, and to keep oneself being polluted by the world. Listen, this world is trying to drag you the other way. The culture, little messages. I don't know if I just see it more or if it's just there more. But cartoons, TV shows, everything is steering your mind and your thinking opposite from the Lord and what honors him. Holy schmolies. So again, I don't know if it's just worse now or if I've just more, I notice it more. Either way, this way, the world's God even says, you know what? Friendship with the world is enmity with God. Listen to this verse, and I like this. We're to be set apart. That's what holy means. Set apart, not self-righteous. I'm a Christian. I can't. No, Jesus was a friend, right? To sinners, wasn't he? But even though he was a friend to sinners, right? Okay, he didn't. Well, I don't want to get into specific sins. But okay, so if he saved the prostitute, right? He was right there with her, right? He didn't partake of those things. He's not out getting drunk and stoned and high. Do you see what I'm saying? He separated himself. No, that's not for me. That doesn't honor my Lord. It doesn't show him. Okay? It says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. This is in the Living Bible. I liked how it said it. He's saying, you know what? There was a time when some of you were just like that. That's what you used to do. But now, it says, your sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you are set apart for God. You're on a new mission. You used to be a liar. Don't lie anymore. Cut it out. That doesn't honor God. It honors Satan. You used to steal. You used to be a manipulator. Don't do that anymore. It doesn't honor the Lord. Be transparent, be humble, be real. You used to be a jerk, now be kind. You used to be a violent, angry man. That's natural for you, a violent, angry woman. I don't tell anybody, I'm Cuban. I'll tell you what I need, I'm Italian. Hey, let me tell you. All those come into subservience to the Lord. Does that make sense? Those are little litmus tests. It says, for he has accepted you. God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, has accepted you. Isn't that amazing? You're an atheist. Last year, I remember praying. Yes, and look what God's doing in your life. And now you're thinking, you're just like, I just want to see how I can honor God now. How can I serve him? How can I just want to know him better. And now, who are you? I love it. Erica Weaver, you have the mic?
I just want to say, just as an encouragement to people who might be feeling overwhelmed with this message, mm-hmm. is just that, you know, you don't have to get cleaned up to take a bath. You know, just get in the bathtub. You know, just start. Have Jesus, have him enter. And this is nothing that you can do in your own strength. It is him working through you that will help you with your tone, that will help you with your swearing, that will help you with the, you know, becoming one, separating from the world. So don't walk out of here and think, okay, I'm going to do this tomorrow. I'm going to wake up and I'm going to be perfect. You're not in your own strength. You can't possibly do it in your own strength. You yield yourself to the Holy Spirit and you allow him. And you will start, he is so powerful and he is so real that you will notice something like, man, I just answered that properly. Where did that come from? It's the power of the Holy Spirit in you. Your job is to yield to him and allow him to make you want, the more of him you have, the more you want to emulate him.
Yes.
And so, you know, in your own power, this is impossible. It's when you yield to him.
Good. Great, good word. I'll applaud that one. That's right on the money. That's exactly correct. Everything she said. In fact, I'm going to add that to my teaching next time. That was good.
Sandra Rich was telling me, was it this morning or yesterday, she says, you know, Mom, she says, I just stop and I start just praying to God in my head. I said, well, it says you can say 1,000 prayers a day. They don't have to be lengthy or anything.
Yes.
She goes, but then I catch myself with this feeling inside me, and I just cry, and I'm not crying because I'm unhappy. She goes, but this feeling, I said, are you getting full of the Holy Spirit there, girl? What's going on there? And the tears are welling. And she says, yes, and it's just trying to explain the way that God feels inside you is...
When you,
I don't even know a word to use.
But it's beautiful.
So that's, all you could do is cry, you know?
Yes, it's a beautiful thing. And you know, if illustration, not coming to me at the second. But if you've ever been, Ecuador. If you've ever been in a spot, or I remember being in Ecuador and in Africa, so there are some times where, you know, we're on a missions trip and you're not able to shower for days and days and days, and you are grimy, literally covered in dirt and sweat and stink. And when you're able to get in a shower, even if it's just a cold water shower, I just scrub that. See, that's what the Lord is doing. And you don't have to clean yourself up. I really like that. I'm going to use that forever. You don't have to clean yourself up. Just get in the shower. Just get in. Let that water, the water of the washing of the water of the word, the Bible says, wash over you and cleanse you. It'll happen. Let it happen. He's accepted you because of what the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God have done for you. He hasn't accepted you because you've done enough good things. He's accepted you because of himself. And he says, man, you're precious in my sight. I want to encourage you. I want to bless you. I want to use you in a supernatural way. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? Wow, that's our God. Definitely not getting through chapter 2 since we haven't made it there yet. Okay. What's my next one? Okay, there we go. Lights, you're good, Chris. James chapter 2. James chapter 2, and I'm going to read from verse 1 to 5. It's so important, especially you folks who are getting baptized, and but really all of us, I shouldn't just say just the, how important it is to get the word into you. There are so many bad teachings out there. I am literally blown away. Like, I could honestly probably spend the next 6 months and pick a different bad teaching every single week. It's amazing. You have to read the word for yourself. Read the word. Start in the New Testament. Listen, I don't know if I have anything here. Sometimes I keep them. If not, oh, tell me I do. Okay. If anybody, I hand these out all the time. If anybody wants to read the New Testament in 1 year, My Time with God, a 15-minute devotional, you'll be able to read through the entire New Testament and as little helps from like a Billy Graham or a Beth Moore, did I say that right? Yeah. If anybody wants this, you'll be able to read through, but pray every time. Learn what it says for yourself. I have two of these left up here. Does anybody want one? Okay, one in the back. Okay, JoJo, would you go give it to that lovely young lady back there? Anybody else? I got one more. Okay. Did you hand that back to that gentleman? Thank you. Now listen. Okay, somebody was sharing with me they're saved. They can't read. They're an older. You know what? So what? I learned better audio as well. I learned more to read because I wanted to read the Word of God for myself. But if anybody needs it on audio, you know what? We'll give it to you on audio. Jay, do you want it? I'll give you the, what do you want, New Testament, Old Testament? The whole thing. Just take the whole thing. You know what, Jay? It's a gift. The entire Bible on audio for you in Jesus' name. Now, if you want teachings on audio, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, like I do it, I will send them to you. Text me, and I'll send them to you purposely. I've sent it out corporately multiple times, and not everybody gets it. I don't know what it's, maybe it's the enemy, maybe it's technology. I don't know. Does anybody else want an audio? Entire Bible on audio, free as a gift in Jesus' name. Okay? You know what? And thank you, church, for being a generous church and providing. The reason why we can give these things that help people to grow, the reason why we can do that is because you put your money in the tithe box. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for giving to them. That shows a little litmus test. You're serving them. All right. So, James chapter 2, verses 1 through, I'll say 4. How about that? And when it says my brothers, it's meaning brothers, sisters, you get the ideas. My brothers, as believers, I'm so sorry, I've got so many underlines in my Bible. Glorious, that's what it is. Okay, my brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, I love that, don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, stand there or sit on the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated amongst yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? So here's, why don't we start with this, verse 1. My brothers and sisters, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Or some of your Bibles would say, don't show partiality, right? Or some of yours might say, don't be a respecter of persons. Is that correct? Some of yours says that? Okay. Now, somebody mentioned this. When it says, don't be a respecter of persons, I just want to, it doesn't mean don't respect people, okay? The Bible is clear on this. You know, children, you're to respect your parents. We're supposed to respect those in authority over us at work, the governing authorities. We're supposed to, you know, respect our elders and the church, our pastor elders. But the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:17, I want, as a Christian, he says, respect everyone and love the family of believers. Fear God and respect the king. And for us, it would be the president. And listen, that means whether it's President Trump or President Obama, do you know what? They both need prayer and they both need Jesus. Does that make sense? Elijah, you had your hand up for a while and I've noticed it twice. I'm so sorry that I keep forgetting to call on you. So if we could have a lovely young lady in a yellow dress bring a microphone to you. Wow.
You know, it's kind of hard. You know, like nowadays, unfortunately, a lot of, you know, Bible teachers and stuff like that are going in their own directions. Either they hate this group or they hate that group.
Yes.
Or they just love every group and they don't,
tell
you
the
know,
truth.
Tell the truth. Well, I remember there's this, I can't remember who his name was, but he was this Bible teacher, you know. Mm-hmm. He just really spoke the truth, you know, whichever political view, you know, you have. Like, he was like, you know what, why don't we think about this? How about we, like, Lord, bless Obama, Lord God. Just bless his daughters, Lord God, and lead him closer to you. Instead of, like, Lord, he's a Muslim, kick him off.
Yeah,
or, like,
right.
President Trump, Lord, bless him, Lord God. Lord, bless him for what he's doing in our country,
help him,
Lord,
yeah.
And protect him. Instead of being like, God, he's a businessman. He's not doing what I want him to do,
right.
You know?
Exactly. That's a fantastic word. You know, that is right on the money. And so the Bible talks a lot about, as a Christian, we're not to show favoritism to anybody, okay? So, or partiality, I guess, as some of your Bibles would say. Okay, Deuteronomy, all the way back in the Old Testament, says, do not show partiality. And hear both small and great alike. Deuteronomy 1:17, Proverbs 24:23 says it's wrong to show favoritism, okay? Romans 2:11 says specifically, for God does not show favoritism. So there's no favorites. Well, you know, here's what you can say, you're all his favorite. Isn't that true, though? But he doesn't prefer Shirley over Michael. He doesn't prefer Pastor Darren over Ray. Do you see what I'm saying? He loves you with an everlasting love. You. You. That's the truth in Jesus' name. So don't show favoritism. Listen, there's so many bad teachings in the church. I'm so blown away by it. Oh my goodness. Honestly, some of the biggest churches teach these things. If you read the Bible for yourself one time, open and honestly seeking the Lord, you would not teach these things. Some of these things that I'm going to mention here, but they do. Some do it openly, some do it kind of covertly, but you know, like sometimes some people think, okay, well, you know, if you're popular or you have status, right, we're going to give you preference. Hey, we're going to, we're going to let you get away with things that maybe you shouldn't. Well, that's not right. Do you know a lot of church boards and elder boards? Do you know how there's deacon boards? Do you know how they're started up? Sad to say, quietly, just to let you know, is if they have. And they base it on their influence or their social status. Can I tell you what? That's disgusting. How far away from that is, that's not biblical at all. Do you remember Samuel? Do you remember the story of Samuel, 1 Samuel 16? He went and God said, hey, I want you to anoint somebody. I want you to anoint one of the sons of Jesse for king. And so he went over there and he had all the boys. Hey, all your boys here? The dad's like, yeah, let's bring him out. So the first one came out and he was a big guy, kind of, you know, studly guy, you know, handsome, could talk well. And Samuel said, this must be the guy going to anoint him for the new king of Israel. And God said, nope, he's not the right one. And then the next one, and then the next one, the next one, next one, next one, until he went through all the sons. And he's like, Jesse, you said all your sons were here. And he's like, oh, well, there's one, you know. There's David. You know, he's the runt of the litter. He's out with the sheep, Okay? He's not important. You know, and he's like, why don't you send for him? And of course, you know the story. That was the one who God chose. See, we look towards the outside, and God says, I want your heart. God looks at the heart. That's what's valuable. Does that make sense? Would you pass a microphone to that young man?
Thank you. So I remember one time we were visiting this one church, and I was like real little, I think like 8 or something like that at the time, and they had like a Jaguar fund or something like that for the pastor. And of course, me being my little kid self was like, oh, Jaguars, I love those animals. But of course, you know, it was literally just a prayer box for people to write to try to get the pastor a fancy car. And right. I'm just like, nowadays I'm just sitting there like, why? Like,
yeah, it's crazy, honestly. Well, the pastor's going to wear the diamond heel. He has a great car. Listen, there's been some cars I like it, but I don't want it to cause somebody to stumble. Do you really think Jesus would be driving a, I don't even want to mention the car because I don't want to make anybody feel badly. I remember we had, somebody gave us a beautiful Volvo. When we first got married, it was beautiful. Had little windshield wipers, you know, they all have windshield wipers, but on the headlights, you know, one of those fancy ones. And we were not, but somebody gave, it was a gift. Nobody knew that. And I'm like, you know, the bottom line is, popularity or the next one, wealth. Listen, there's tons of churches that will say that God blesses you if you're wealthy. Yes, sirree. And that's the sign of God's blessing. So if you don't have money, God's not blessing you. Can I tell you? I feel really, they love the Lord. Honestly, I got to be careful because I love the people because they genuinely love the Lord. But they do not know what the word says. Listen, are you seriously going to tell me? One of our missionaries, oh my goodness, Paul, he's for 15, 18 years, he was, I talked to him by email. He was only going to be in town for 1 week, and so he couldn't come this time. But he's come, he's taught at our church multiple times. But he has a Bible college for the slums in Kenya, 2 of them, millions and millions of people. And he teaches, trains up pastors. Are you going to tell all those people that God doesn't love them because they're not rich? Are you seriously telling them that? Well, God's not prospering you. Does that not seem, I want to use harder terms, but I'll just say backwards to you. Listen, do you remember, guys? Listen, now maybe you are having financial problems because there's sin in your life. Definitely check, right? Maybe you're not doing something right. You can check. Ask the Lord. Search me. Know me. See if there's any wicked way within me. But you know, God might bless you monetarily, but he might bless you spiritually. He might bless you in many ways. Listen to this story. This is in Mark chapter 12. I'm going to read this one. Can you hit the light for me for a second? I'm so sorry, what?
Just that God, he teaches,
oh, yeah.
That God loves,
yes,
them right where they are. That it's,
yes, that pastor teaches that God loves them right where they're at. Absolutely. He teaches the word of God. I'm sorry, I didn't make that clear. But he teaches the word of God. They're not surprised. Would you bring that microphone over here? So you're going to real quick with the microphone. Mark chapter 12 is what I'm going to be reading from. Okay, go ahead. Thanks.
He also teaches that God may never change their circumstances, you know, yeah, that might be where they spend the rest of their days there. He understands that because, yeah, God doesn't save us just to change our circumstances, right, you know. He saves us for eternity. Now, a lot of times our circumstances change because we get rid of the sin in our life. So we learn how to budget our money better. We learn how to budget our relationships better, you know, yes, everything. There's blessing that comes with obedience to his word and being purified by his word. But the truth is that this is not eternity. This is just a short time. So,
yes,
and that's so backwards, the wealth gospel, because sometimes we are in bad circumstances here for our whole entire life, but we will have a glorious, yes, existence with him in heaven.
Yes. You know what? You guys provide Bibles. We, as a body, provide Bibles every year for new pastors to be trained. And he says most of them will never, ever get out of the slums of Kenya. Yet they are filled with so much joy of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is saving people, doing amazing things, incredible things there. Isn't that neat? Listen to this. This is in Mark chapter 12. This is the widow's offering. You know, okay. So Jesus sat down opposite. This is Mark chapter 12, verse 11. It says, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were being put. That's in the temple. And watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts of money. Cha-ching. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins. They're mites, worth only a fraction of a penny. They were worth actually 1/5 of a cent she put in. Now, honestly, imagine somebody putting 1/5 of a penny back in there. In a worldly sense, you'd be thinking, why even bother? But Jesus sees it way differently. See, she's rich in faith. A lot of those rich guys, they're just giving out of their access. He goes this, he says, calling the disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all of the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, has put everything, all she has to live on. You know, what's your attitude towards giving? Is it pain or privilege or whatever? But here, this poor widow had more faith and was just giving God all she had. And you know what? Jesus was blessed by it. In fact, he was calling his disciples, this is a woman of faith. You see, it's not just about the outside. Listen, if you have lots of money, wonderful. Give. Use it for the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't think just because you have money or you have a nice house or you have a great job, that's in the indicator of the blessing from God. That's wrong. And that's bad teaching. This poor widow gave 1/5 of a penny, and God's like, that's the one who's got the right heart. That's the one I appreciate. Does that make sense? Do you hear it? Listen, or health. John chapter 9, Jesus was walking along and there was a, I'll speed it up for time's sake, a blind man, if I remember correctly, John chapter 9. And the disciples were like, hey, who sinned? This guy's been blind since birth. Who's the sinner? Is it him, Lord? Because that's what they thought. Hey, if you're not healthy, you're obviously in sin. Now, there could be, that could be the case, but not always. Who sinned? Him? Or maybe his parents did. Whoa, maybe it was a generational thing. And Jesus is like, neither. Neither. And he went up and he made some mud, put it in his eyes, healed him. Or what about in Luke chapter 13, there was a lady that was bent over. Well, God is only blessing the people if you're healthy. He's blessed. Well, there was a lady who was bent over, staring at dirt for 18 years. Jesus went over to her. Said, you know what, daughter? I'm healing you. The people in the church and the synagogue were so mad that he healed on the Sabbath, they were up in arms. And Jesus was looking around at distress at them. They had missed the whole point. But here's a lady who's sick, and God is taking care of her. Listen, don't let anybody tell you if you're not healthy or wealthy. Can I just tell you, that is really damaging, destructive teaching. And if you're young here and you've been taught that, many people have, and you've listened to that, man, I guarantee if you hold on to that, that will destroy you or destroy someone else in your life. It's not true, and it's not godly, and it's not kind. God, you have something to... Okay.
Prophets being super rich. I don't remember the Jewish people being super rich.
Yeah.
I don't remember all kinds of Christians. There were rich Christians, yeah, and there have absolutely been rich prophets, yeah, so that doesn't mean you're not, but it right really just seems to be...
Yeah, Jesus didn't even have, when he asked for a coin, he didn't have a coin even in the temple.
He told them to leave their stuff at home with all their packs and come and follow me, and we'll just do it by faith. And so he wasn't saying, and when we get there, we're going to have lots of money and we'll sleep at the nicest places, because that's not what happened.
Absolutely not. So. Right. So listen, again, if God has blessed you with that stuff, wonderful. Thank you. Praise the Lord. But that does not mean that God is necessarily mean that that's the blessing of God. Okay? So don't show favoritism. Like, let's say, for example, and it's easy to do, okay? So here we have two people coming into our church. I say next week we're going to have Donald Trump. Now, some of you are like, boo. Some of you are like, yay. Well, Donald Trump, he's going to come into our church, if I were to say that, all right? He's going to come in and he's going to sit down. And then afterwards, every family that's here is going to be able to spend 5 minutes alone with him in a secret service in one of the portables. Now let me tell you what I think would happen. I bet many of you would make sure that you are here on that day. Maybe you'd wear a little bit nicer clothes. Maybe you'd comb your hair a little bit better. Maybe, you know, you'd be here ready, right? Maybe some of you to give him a piece of your mind, or maybe somebody just like me, just, hey, thank you for what you're doing for conservative, you know, over abortion. Thank you for fighting. Do you know what I'm saying? Wait, hear me out now. So some of you might get mad at him, some of you might get, but the bottom line is, this church, you talk about packed. Let me tell you, it would be packed, wouldn't it? Standing room only. Now, what happens if I told you the following week, okay, this man was going to come to our church? He's a homeless guy. Give bread to. So he's going to come to our church in 2 weeks, and then afterwards, every family here will be able to spend 5 minutes with him. So, of course, now for Donald Trump, everybody, I'll wait. That's okay. I'll wait a couple hours. No big deal. I'll wait. Now, I'm guessing for this guy, I got to wait 5 minutes to talk. Whatever. Do you see how easy it is to show favoritism? But can I tell you something? God loves this guy and wants to save his heart just as much as he loves this guy and wants to save his heart. Yes, what if God was one of us, but he was one of us? Does that make sense, guys? God doesn't show favoritism. Listen, if that should be our heart towards people. Right? Even his enemies said this to him. He said, the disciples, they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians that hated Jesus and said, teacher, we know that you're a man of integrity and you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are, or you're not swayed by appearances. Listen, God loves you, folks. He loves every person out there. Black, white, red, Asian, rich, middle class, low class. There is no class. We're all equal at the foot of the cross. Does that make sense? We don't show favoritism. Everybody should be getting our best attention because we want to be a witness for our Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody needs Jesus. Every single person needs Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Does it? Okay, did you have something you wanted to say? Okay, I guess so. I have some. Okay, I'll stop. So I didn't get as far as I like, but we did get 4 verses into James. So that's good. So when you look at people, remember, don't show favoritism. Hey, they're rich, or hey, they're poor. You know what? We're pretty open and pretty mellow here, I think. You know, if people come in, we accept everybody. But, you know, on the opposite side, if somebody comes in a suit and tie, make sure you don't mock them for it. Right? Some people want to dress up for the Lord. Some people want to dress. I want to be real before. Whatever it is, just don't show favoritism. We are to love everybody equally. Because the Lord loves everybody equally. Does that make sense? Okay. Let's pray. Lord, we just ask in Jesus' name that you would help us to pass some of these litmus tests, Lord. That you would help us with our mouth, Lord, our speech in Jesus' name. We're asking you to fill us, Lord. Guard our tongue. Set a guard on our tongue, Lord God. Help it to be important, what comes out of our mouth, Lord God. Lord, I just pray that right now in Jesus' name for me, Lord God, and for all of us. Lord, help us to serve one another, Lord. Help us to wash each other's feet. Help us to be purposely preferring others' needs ahead of ourselves, Lord God. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, help us also to separate ourselves from the things of the world. We're not supposed to look like the world and sound like the world. Lord, we're supposed to be set apart different so people can see us, Lord God. So we can be, actually, so people can see you, Lord. So we can be like lit up like a city on a hill, Lord God, that people would see our good works and then praise our Father in heaven and say, wow, I want to know about your God. Help us not to show favoritism to anyone, Lord, but to love everyone equally because you love everyone equally, Lord. Help us to reach out to them with the heart of Christ. Lord, we ask a blessing on your people today. And Lord, we ask for you. I know you already showed up in their hearts, but I ask for you to be present, Lord, your presence to go with us, Lord, at the baptism at 5 o'clock, Lord God, that you would just be with, touch the minds and the hearts of the people who come, Lord, those who are coming to support and encourage those getting baptized and those getting baptized, Lord God. Whoever shows up, Lord God, I pray in Jesus Christ's name that it would be just a special time for those who are getting baptized, that you would do what your word says, exceedingly abundantly more than they could ever have even asked for or imagined. And you would do it in the mighty, awesome, powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. We love you. And we'll see you at 5 or 5:30 tonight. Call Nathan Weaver if you don't know how to get there.